Thanks for listening to this podcast from Redemption Life Church. Listen as Pastor Michael Cox teaches on week 3 of Sun Soil.
We've been looking at Sun Soil now. This is our third week talking about Sun Soil. And we last week talked about the parable from Mark chapter 4. We've been talking about that every week, but we started the four types of soil that is talked about and displayed in Mark chapter 4 last week. And the first soil in that passage is the soil by the wayside. So some seeds fell on soil by the wayside. And so we talked last week about getting away from the road. You remember that if everybody was here last week. We talked about getting away from the road. And we'll review a little bit of that as we go today. But if you'll turn to Mark chapter 4, we're going to read that passage again. We're going to keep reading that passage every week until we finish this series so you guys can know it and it just gets in your spirit, gets in your heart. Mark chapter 4, it's good to have the kids with us today. I was thinking, I started something when I was talking about worship, and then I went to somewhere else. I don't know where I went. I went somewhere else. So, Jesus was doing all the things that you do in ministry, and the disciples were helping him do all the things that you do in ministry, and kids came to approach him, and the disciples wrongly assumed that the kids would hinder Jesus from doing what he's supposed to be doing, all the ministry duties. And they got it wrong. And he said, the ministry duties can wait. The greatest ministry duty is letting the little children come to me. And so he said, let the kids, amen, let the kids come unto me. And so whatever you had in mind today about what this encounter was going to be, if the kids being in here interferes with that, we probably should change our mind about what we were thinking we were going to do today. Don't you think? So I'm excited that they're here, and I hope I can even communicate them to them a little bit today. We have them in on the 4 Sundays of the month. I don't know about anybody else, but I wanted to come up and worship with my kids, but they were so crowded up here I couldn't today. I like to worship with them on Family Sunday, but that's okay. We get ours, don't we, guys? We do it at home. We do it wherever we make a way, don't we, to worship together. You see all my moves. Yeah, they like my moves. Huh? Don't you like my moves even when I... Aren't my moves awesome? Yeah. Does that mean I'm old? You just pulled out disco moves. Like, that's... Anyway, I had to, she said. Mark chapter 4, let's get back on track. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Many times we stand for the reading of the word to honor and show respect to the word, which is a great practice, but I've been standing up on the outside and sitting down on the inside many times in my life, haven't you? So let's stand up on the inside, and it doesn't really matter if you're standing up on the outside or not. Let's honor the word, and let's believe today that it has power to change our life. Mark chapter 4, he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. Maybe that's why I like the sea so much. Jesus loved the sea. You know, he taught from boats in the sea, and so I just want to be like him. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones, he's talking about the first group, these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. I do not want to be only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So they're temporary, they spring up quick, they get excited, but when there's a little bit of sacrifice to be made for the word, they immediately fall away. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear 30, 60, and a hundredfold. And so we started out the very first week talking about what the actual seed is. In this parable, the seed is the word. The word in the beginning was God and was with God. We continue to read, we see that the word put on flesh and walked among us. So the word was Jesus. We shared the quote from Lynn Hiles. I'll probably share it every week. Jesus was the incorruptible seed of God that would be planted in a new garden, and from this incorruptible seed produce a whole crop of incorruptible sons of God. When the fullness of time came, Galatians 4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The seed of his Son goes into the soil of our heart, and it produces a harvest of a shout that says, Abba, Father. Therefore, if you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir through God. So last week, we started, and I gave you guys a little analogy, okay, a story, and the Lord really just showed me this a long time ago, and it just spoke to me. Put that house up real quick. And do you remember this from last week? You are an orphan in a taxi cab, and you were driving up to a house of a man who said he wanted to be your father. You had been jaded by all of your past experiences. How many people had said, I want to love you, I want to take you in, and then they saw your mess, and then they just put you back out. And so you pull up to this house, and you're jaded, and you have a hard time believing that this could possibly, this is the Biltmore, by the way, but we're just using it as an excessive display of, actually, it's a minimalist display of the excessiveness of the kingdom. How's that? That's why I'm an excessive minimalist. Anyway. So you pull up to this house, and you're like, man, this is too good to be true. You got all these thoughts going through your mind, and all the thoughts going through your mind have been shaped by your life experiences, right? And we talked last week about the first step you have to do in becoming the son of the guy, the father who's wanting to adopt you, is get out of the car and walk to the house. You got to leave the road. You got to leave all of the street smarts and the angles and the cons and all the things that your life has shaped you to think certain ways, jaded ways, self-preserving ways, unfaithful ways. We have to leave those ways and just, like the prodigal son, come to our senses and say, hey, I got to go back home. So we talked about that last week. Today I want to talk about the rocky soil. So let's pick up with, sorry, put that house back, I'm sorry. Let's pick back up with this story. Say we left the house. We sang the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song together last week. I don't know how I feel about that still, but I did it anyways. Because we were trying to capture this life change of someone going from the projects to a mansion. And so that was one that clearly resonated with most people in the room, more than I expected. And so that is us in that position. We leave the brokenness. We leave the orphan mindset. We leave the self-preserving. We leave all the mechanisms that we've established of how we get food on the street, how we get attention on the street, how we get affection on the street, how we be full and get filled and do what feels good on the street. We have to leave those things. We have to repent of those things. We have to change our mind about those things and turn to God, because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's so close that you can grasp it, but you must repent and you must turn. You must stop thinking the way that you're thinking, or you can never grasp the kingdom. And so we go, we leave the car, we start walking to the house, and the next one, let's look at it, verse 5 and 6. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. In a similar way, these are the ones, this is the explanation in verse 16 and 17, on whom the seed was sown in the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. First step is changing the way that we think and just taking a step of faith away from the road. But it can't stay there. It has to go deeper than that. It can't just become, it can't just be a thought of hope. It can't just be a thought of maybe. It can't just be, let me try it. We have to let God take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh, so that he can put roots in us, so that we can begin to know his heart. Look at Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit in them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people and I shall be their God. If we're going to let the seed of sonship take root in our life, we have to let our heart be transformed. Our heart has to be transformed. We have to let him transform our heart that allows us to see his heart. And when our hearts are connected, we can trust his word. And we can apply it to our lives. Let me read you this from Charles Spurgeon. I love this. Anybody read much Charles Spurgeon? He is a wordsmith. Some days I wish that I lived in the time he lived. I like watching those movies where they talk in old English and all those. I just love it. But he's brilliant. Let me read you this, what he wrote about a heart of stone. The fall of man was utter and entire. Some things, when they have become dilapidated, may be repaired. So amazing. Just hit me. The song said today, we're not just restoring. We're not just, what did it say? We're not just reviving. We're not just restoring. We're making brand new. Some things, when they have become dilapidated, may be repaired, but the old house of mankind is so thoroughly decayed that it must be pulled down even to its foundation. And a new house must be erected. To attempt mere improvement is to anticipate a certain failure. Manhood is like an old garment that is rent and rotten. He that would mend it with new cloth doth but make the rent worse. Manhood is like one of the old skin bottles of the Orientals. He would put the new wine into it. He who would put the new wine into it shall find that the bottles will burst and his wine will be lost. Old shoes and clouded might be enough for the Gibeonites, but we are so thoroughly outworn that we must be made new or thrown upon the dunghill. It is a wonder of wonders that such a thing is possible. If a tree loses its branch, a new branch may spring out. If you cut into the bark and mark the letters of your name, in process of time, the bark may heal its old wound and the mark may be erased. But who could give a new heart to the tree? Who could put new sap into it? By what possibility could you change its inner structure? If the core were smitten with death, what power but the divine could ever restore it to life? If a man has injured his bones, the fractured parts soon send forth a healing liquid, and the bone is by and by restored to its former strength if a man hath youth on his side. But if a man's heart were rotten, how could that be cured? If the heart were a putrid ulcer, if the very vitals of the man were rotten, what human surgery, what marvelous medicine could touch a defect so radical as this? He quoted a hymn, "Can aught beneath a power divine the stubborn will subdue? 'Tis thine eternal spirit, thine to form the heart anew. To chase the shades of death away and build the sinner live and bid the sinner live a beam of heaven, a vital ray, 'tis thine alone to give." Just a little bit more. "But while such a thing would be impossible apart from God, it is certain that God can do it. Oh, how the Master delighteth to undertake impossibilities. To do what others can do were but like unto man. But to accomplish that which is impossible to the creature is a mighty and noble proof of the divinity of the Creator. He delighteth to undertake strange things." Hey, I like that for our old Strange Things series. "He delighteth to undertake strange things, to bring light out of darkness, order out of confusion, to send life into the dead, to heal the leprosy, to work marvels of grace and mercy and wisdom and peace. These I say God delighteth to do, and so while the thing is impossible to us, it is possible to him, and more, its impossibility to us commends it to him and makes him the more willing to undertake it, that he may thus glorify his great name." A branch on a tree will grow back. Bark will cover up old things. But who could change the heart of a tree? Who could change the heart of a man? He's created us resilient. He's created our bodies to mend themselves. But who could change a man's heart? Only he can. And only he will. And if he changes our heart, he changes everything. See, if you go to this house, you get out of the car, you muster up enough strength, you get to the door, you see the fire in his eyes, you see the embrace of the kingdom, you see the Father's love manifest, you see all these things. And since that's a picture of the Biltmore, let me just show you. This is a pictorial guide to Biltmore. My wife and I bought this when we went to Biltmore because they sell you a lot of stuff when you go to Biltmore. And we looked at it maybe on the way home, and then it was been on our shelf. But as we were walking up to the house, they sold us these. But if I was walking up to the Biltmore and someone said, hey, you might need this, you'll get a lot more out of this trip. Would anybody in this room be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're trying to hand me that? That's probably, that thing is probably going to try to tell me what I have to do all day long. That's going to try to tell me, I just want to see what I want to see. Why would they hand me that manual? Nobody would have that mindset. Everybody would say, oh my goodness, that's awesome. I didn't even know which way to start. I want to see everything. I want to experience everything. I want to explore everything. Any way that can help me get a leg up on that would be very welcomed. I'll take it. Yet, how do we respond to this? How we respond to this displays the position of our heart. Do we have a heart of flesh that trusts his heart and believes that he is genuinely a father that loves us and is saying, hey, come on in, this will help you. Come on in, this. We're excessivist here, so here, you can have everything. Just look through all this. Come on in, and there's things in here for every day of the week, every minute of the day, every hour of the day. There's things that can help you experience the fullness of all that I have laid out for you. This will tell you where you can find me. This will tell you where you can meet with me. This will tell you all the fun things that I like to do and you're invited to do with me. Now look. You can take that with an orphan mindset and say, I knew there was a catch. I left the road. I got out of the car. I thought this was too good to be true. I saw his eyes burning, and then when I get up to him, he hands me this. He hands me this. I knew there was a catch. Every place that I've been has handed me one of these. See, we try to relegate what this word to all the other words. Because everywhere else you go, they got a manual. And everywhere else they go, they tell you what you got to conform to and what you have to be like and what you have to do. And we try to bring this down on the level of some other manual or some other book or some other thing that man could make. It's not. But the only way to receive it correctly is through a heart of flesh. I'd love to have this manual for the Biltmore. It helped me find my way around. I'd love to have this word because it helps me find my way around. So many things that we don't experience. There's so many things that we don't encounter. There's so many things that he has died to secure for us that go unclaimed by his children. Because we are resistant to his word. Yeah. And we're resistant to his word because we have short-term vision. Because we don't get that what looked like surrender and sacrifice was really a reward, a gift, and a prize. We don't realize that. We can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see the promises because there's a little bit of instruction. See, it says when some suffering came because of the word, they withered away. Oh, the house is awesome. Oh, his eyes of fire. Oh, all this stuff. Oh, the manual. And then they find some things in the manual that might make them slightly uncomfortable. Oh, there's the slightest expectation of me being in this home by a certain time every day. I want to live street life and enjoy all the promises of the big house. The slightest little constraint, the slightest little restriction that is completely out of love for our protection to help grow in our relationship with the Father. Well, I do this on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, and I would really love for you to be with me down at the pond fishing on Tuesday, so we close the tennis courts on Tuesdays at 2. Oh, my Lord. I can't play tennis on Tuesdays at 2. I have to be a certain place you tell me to be. There are a few things I have to say the way you want me to say. There's a couple of things and patterns in my life that I have to change if I fully and truly want to experience the fullness of what you've provided for me. Oh, that's causing me a little bit of anxiety. That's causing me a little bit of pain. That's causing me a little bit of suffering. And so when a little bit of uncomfortableness and suffering comes because of the word, we are temporary. Because we didn't let it go deep. We never let him take a heart of stone out, put a heart of flesh in, so that everything could flourish and grow. If we look at his word and if we look at his promises and we look at the life he's laid out for us with a heart of stone, with a seared conscience, with one that cannot fully embrace the heart of the Father, then we will always look at this as a law that restricts us and limits us and holds us back instead of a promise that enlightens us and enlarges us and leads us to fulfillment. Some of us kids, I think you might get this part. I hope. I was thinking the kids might really get this part. I'm going to be able to tell them this part. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son took all of his money and went and spent it all, and he was feeding pigs. That's the job he got, feeding pigs. So he's feeding pigs, and he comes to his senses. He changes his mind. He repents, changes the way he thinks, and decides he needs to go back home, turns to God, turns to the Father, starts the journey home. But he gets a little wrong still because he says, I'm going to go back to my father's house and be a slave. Because even the slaves at my father's house eat better than I'm eating. So I'm going to go back and be a slave. Now, can you just imagine the horrificness of what I see sometimes on the news of how children are treated? And some children are treated so inhumanely, like animals. But the absurdity of thinking that the house is provided for us and yet we're going to live in a pen in the backyard. Somehow we're going to go back home. Somehow we see the eyes of fire. But you can literally live in the palace. You can live in the kingdom. You can be a son or daughter, and still in your mind, you're living in the house in a pen. Yes. Yes. And you're inside of the house with everything that you can have, but because of how you see the word, and because of how you see yourself and how you see him, you're living in absolute freedom and fullness, and you're pinned in a cage of your own making. So I'm going to go back to the Father's house and still live as a slave in a pen. That makes no sense. That's absurdity. Do you remember the woman that came to Jesus? Let me give you the passage so you know. Matthew chapter 15. Woman came to Jesus and said, "Hey, my daughter is sick. She's vexed. She's demon-possessed. Could you please heal my daughter?" And Jesus tells the woman, "Hey, I didn't come for you. You're not the people I came for. I only came for the lost children of Israel. I didn't come for you." And the woman said, "Yes, but don't even the dogs eat from the scraps that fall from the master's table?" Jesus said, "I can't give the children's bread to the dogs." And she said, "Well, but don't even the dogs get to eat from the master's table, the scraps?" And he said, "Woman, your faith is so great, your daughter will be whole and she'll be healed." But how many people know Peter says, "We once were not a people, but now we are a people." We once were the people on the outside. Does everybody understand that? Unless you're Jewish in this room, we were the people on the outside. We were the Gentiles. We were the ones that did not have rights to the promises of God. It wasn't for us. We weren't a people, but now we are a people. We could not obtain mercy, but now we can have mercy. So we are the people of God that can have the mercy of God. Yet we live like we're still the dogs under the table. This isn't a newspaper wrote up in some tyrant master's hand. And you're not a dog under a table. Show the condition of your heart when you hear the word and your response is to cower. He said, "I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace. You're joint heirs with me. Come on in. There's a seat for you at the table. You're not a dog under the table eating scraps. From the youngest one in this room to the oldest in this room, there is a seat for you at the table." And just like Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, on that way to meet us in that place of fulfillment and promise, he had to go through some pain. I saw it like this. Hey, we go fishing on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, but there's a briar bush you got to go through to get down there. He went through it to meet us there. We might have to go through a little bit to meet him there. Might be just a little bit of some uncomfortable times. There might be some just a little bit of uncomfortable seasons, but he's like, "Look, trust me, you can do it. And trust me, what's on the other side is well worth some uncomfortableness that you're going to feel because of the word. It's going to be well worth it." Proverbs 23 and 26 says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. Give me your heart and trust in me with all of it. I always say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, or you might fall in. You lean to your own understanding, you might fall into your own understanding. And you can't get out. Be trapped in there the rest of your life. But trust in him with all your heart. Give me your heart, son, and delight in my eyes. Let me be the delight in your eyes. Can you guys close your eyes right where you're at today? I'm going to get done early. Because we have children. And I think they're done listening. I really believe that I lived in a pen in the palace for many years. I thought I was a son by proximity. I thought I was a son by some of the tasks and the chores that I carried out. But I was really just a locked up slave somewhere in the palace. When the word would come, I would wince. When someone would bring correction, I would resist. When someone out of love would try to bring the word of the Lord to me that would bring life to me and pruning to me and the possibility for new growth in me, I would resist and reject. The old saying, you can take the, usually it's about the country, you can take the boy or the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy or the girl. Sometimes you can get moved away from the road, but sometimes the road was so buried deep in us that we had to have the heart changed. If your relationship with him today is built on making good choices, changing your mind about things and attempting to make good choices, but you're doing it with a heart that is not transformed, a heart that is not new, a heart that is not given to him, a heart that doesn't delight in his ways. You know, he says, delight in me and I'll give you the desires of your heart. It's a win-win situation. Man, I just sense that so strong right now. There's so many people in this room today. Listen to my words. You are making right decisions. But he did not die for you to make right decisions. He died for you to be made new, to be born again, to have a new heart that delights in him. Today, if that's you, just right where you're at, you're making right choices. Maybe some of you are trying to make right choices even. This may be the only time you ever hear a preacher say this. I don't care if you're making right choices. I'm not going to try to encourage you to make right choices today. I want to encourage you to let him change your heart. So today, if that's you in this room and you're making right choices, or you're attempting to make right choices, or you're attempting to do all the sayings that we say, I'm trying to get back in church. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to follow the manual like a legislated law book. If you're trying to do all those things today, but you want a heart that beats for God and loves and delights in His ways, would you just lift your hand up right where you're at today? See you, see you, see you, see you, see you, see you. Jesus. Look at me for just a minute. I don't even know why I say I see, I see, I see. I guess once you know that I see, but you know, it don't really matter that I see. I was praying this morning for service and I was like, Lord, I know I've got a sermon prepared and I know I've got all this, but even just these few minutes, I just want to give you one more chance. I just want to listen if you just want to say something totally different. And I say it all the time, but today it hit me like never before, because I just said, Lord, what do you want to say? What would you have me to say to your people? I've said that 1,000 times in my life, but today, if for some reason today, those two words, your people, hit me like never before. You're His people. You're not my people. I love you. I honor you. I love that we're family. I love that we walk this journey together. And I love that, you know, we're each other's people, but you're not my people. So on my best day of trying to communicate from Him to you, I'll fall short, but you're His people. And He'll never fall short of communicating His heart to you. As ministers, we got to let that remove some weight from us and also let it remove some pride from us. You're His people. You're His people. Man, His heart just hit me today when I said that prayer. He said, that's right, they're my people. They're my people. And yeah, I want you to say some stuff to them today, but what's important today is what I'm going to say to my people. What's important today is what I'm going to communicate to them. Like John the Baptist, you get to be the best man at the ceremony. You get to be in the room, and you, because of faithfulness, I don't want to have false humility because of faithfulness, because of you and Jahan being faithful and planting this church. And you get to be in the room. You get to see me encounter them, but they're my people. He said, watch this. Watch this. So today, those of you all over the room that have lifted your hands, He spoke to His people today. And you responded to His voice today. He made an appeal to you to give you a heart of flesh that would be passionately in love with Him. And you said, here I am. Do it, Lord, in me. I never want to take a breath. I never want to live a minute that is void of the realization of the awesomeness of God encountering people. Who could take a heart of a dying, decaying tree and make it new? Only Him. Can we stand up, everybody, together? Because I don't want to put people on the spot, but I feel like some of you people that raised your hand today, you just need to stand up for a minute. We don't need to rush out today. I got done early today. If you raised your hand right now, come on, right where you stand right now, if you raised your hand right now. Right now. Right now. David's cry was, create in me a clean heart, God. Create in me a new heart, God. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not away the joy of my salvation, but renew a right spirit in me. What does that mean? Take not away the joy of leaving the car and leaving the road and the discovery of the promises of God for my life. Renew a right spirit in me. Create a pure heart in me that loves you and embraces you and finds joy in walking with you, following you, submitting to you, surrendering to you, celebrating with you, encountering you. Your heart of flesh today, God. I want the roots to go deep. I don't want to be temporary. I don't want to be temporary. I want deep roots. I want to be like a tree. I want to be like a tree planted by water. I shall not be moved. I shall not be temporary. This may be such a stretch, but I want to be the opposite of the dog that cowers when the owner speaks. Now understand, we're not owned and we're not slaves, okay? But I just saw this. Anybody ever seen a dog that you were really mad at, but they didn't understand that you were mad at them? And their tail was just wagging like crazy and they're just jumping on you like crazy and you can kick them, hit them, and do anything to them. I just want to be like that with God. He's never going to be angry. He's never going to be mad like that. He put all of his wrath on his son. But I want to be one that no matter when the world tries to tell me he's angry, he's mad, he probably won't. I just be like, whatever. Whatever, no way. He probably don't want you around. He probably don't want you to be here today unless you get this fixed first. He probably don't, whatever. No way. It's liquor. Just can't get enough. Like somebody said, bacon or something. I want to unlearn some stuff. I want to be ignorant about some stuff. Now, I don't believe in checking your brain at the door and just coming here and do whatever we tell you to do and don't think for yourself. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about being ignorant to some of the things that culture's tried to inform me of. That's what happens when you get a heart of flesh. It vetoes your mind. It's great when you come to your senses, but when you give him your heart, oh gosh, that's when it goes to a whole nother level. Because those thoughts are going to try to change. Those thoughts are going to try to waver. Those thoughts are going to be try to be dictated about circumstances and situations. But when you've given him your heart, and when you've let things take deep root, they stand the test of time. You're like, well, that's a passing thought. Let me take that one captive in Jesus' name. I just bless you in the name of Jesus today. And I just say it's not some type of mystic thing. If you raised your hand today and you said, I want a new heart, I say it is done in Jesus' name. So be it. Take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Oh God, I want to be in love with you. I want to be passionate for your purposes. I want to be passionate for your presence. I want to be passionate for your laws, I want to be passionate for your word. Grow deep in me. Grow deep in me. Take it all out. Come on, take it all out. Take it all out. Take out the stone. Stones are dead. Stones are cold. Stones are hard. Take out every dead, hard, cold place in my life in Jesus' name and replace it with the heart of God. Replace it with the seed of sonship. Replace it with soil that is cultivated and primed and ready to receive all that you have for me. You ever seen that special soil at Home Depot that cost a fortune? God does not take away a heart of stone and just give you some red clay. He gives you soil that you can spit a watermelon seed on 3 days after you ate one, and it'll grow a watermelon in 12 minutes. That's the kind of soil God is putting in your heart today in Jesus' name. He is putting a heart of flesh in you that is quick to receive his word, that is quick to produce harvest, that is quick to bring transition and transformation to your life. Woo. Whatever, I don't know. Sure. Watermelons are on me. Go to Food City and tell them Michael sent you. I love you, people of God. You're his people. He's proud of you today. He loves you today. Lord, we love you. We thank you again for encountering us today, for meeting with us today, for transforming us today and changing us today and making us new today. Not just patching over and not just putting on a fresh coat of paint, but thank you for making us new. Thank you for loving us enough to not leave us the way that we were and continuing to pursue our heart of stone with the heart of flesh ready in your hand to make the exchange. Thank you for your pursuit of our hearts. We surrender and we submit in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you say, so be it? So be it. Amen. We love you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Redemption Life Church. Be sure to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @Redemption Life.